from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Welcome in. It is the Abe TL Show live in the Kia Studios here Saturday afternoon. And it has been a busy last 30-something hours for the Atlanta Hawks. A little couple more hours than that. I think my countdown's off. 70-something hours for the Atlanta Hawks. Of course, it all started with Zachary Risacher on Wednesday night. But that was overshadowed quite quickly by the trade of DeJounte Murray. I was on last night reacting 3 hours, kind of in the moment, without a chance to really take a couple steps back, maybe try and analyze under some patient eyes and come at you again today. And that's what we're going to do. We are going to talk about a couple of aspects that maybe occurred to me overnight that maybe you should consider as well. And I know Chris Thomas just got on here, and he was venting and raring to go for the last 3 hours. I am too. But I tried to remain patient last night. It didn't really happen. Frustration in the moment got the best of me. But we're going to try again today. And who knows? I might get into it and I lose my mind again. We're going to find out together. But the good news is, after reacting to it for 3 hours last night, I do have a couple of other things that we're taking a look at today. Obviously, the Atlanta Braves, and it is a pitching matchup that we have kind of penciled in for about 10 days now, and you thought there was a good shot of it happening, and it's going on right now, and it's Max Fried for the Braves, flamethrower Paul Skeens for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and right now the Braves do have a 1-0 lead in the third inning. We're going to be keeping an eye on this one. I got a lot of different Braves thoughts we're going to get to in the 6 o'clock hour. Jared Kelnick led off the game for the Braves with a home run, and that is your scoreline right now. They beat the Pirates 6-0 last night, and that kind of goes back into a really important homestand and what they're trending, how they're looking right now, and the offense had been held in check. It went bonkers again, and you know, not like 6 runs is the most bonkers thing. I think the Yankees scored 15 yesterday. But again, if you're able to put together 5-6 runs per game, the way this pitching staff has been rolling through it, you feel pretty good about it. Charlie Morton last night, and it's tough to get a read on what he's doing this season. I really don't know. Two games good, two games bad. Flippy floppy. I don't know what to expect from him on any given night. I know he's going to battle, and I can get that out of him. But quite frankly, last night was good, and I couldn't tell you if it's the start of a run for him or not. But we have seen in the past that sometimes he just finds a groove in the middle portions of the season. And so we're hopeful that is the case as well. Again, we're going to be taking your calls today here, especially in this first hour, about the Atlanta Hawks. If you want to give some more reaction, especially now that we're almost 24 hours since, right? It happened in not quite 24 hours, but about 6:40, 6:41 yesterday is when the news came down about DeJounte Murray, and then slowly it's trickled out since, you know, at 6:41, 6:42, somewhere in there, we found out he was going to be traded to the Pelicans. We didn't know for who. We got the hopes high. That glass was shattered pretty quickly when we found out that Brandon Ingram's name was not the one typed in to that tweet in regards to what the compensation would be. But we have slowed down a little bit and separated from the news. And so I want to see if there's any different reaction than we had last night. I'm going to be presenting a couple of thoughts that are certainly different from last night. And not that I'm countering anything I said last night. I think what I said last night still stands. But maybe adding to it and coming at you from a couple different angles as well. But if you do want to get some thoughts in on the Atlanta Hawks, 404-726-0929. Almost feel bad for Zachary Risacher, who had like 19 hours to be the center of attention, and then that was all gone. So we'll talk about that, kind of the timeline, fan excitement as we roll through it as well. A couple other Hawks news we'll get to real quick. Sadiq Bey is not going to be part, or at least unless they sign a different deal. He is becoming an unrestricted free agent. Obviously, Sadiq has the ACL injury, and so his usage would have been in question this year anyways. I'm not surprised that they're parting ways with him, but I did like what you got out of Sadiq Bey. I think he's a very good three-point shooter. I think he can give you a little bit on defensively, not much. But I do think he had some pretty good games there last season. You are also going to be bringing back Garrison Matthews and Veet Krejci. Krejci's an interesting prospect. He's a guy that's had a couple of good games. But we didn't really see a ton of him this past year. But Garrison Matthews, one of the better shooters in the Eastern Conference from three. And so they have decided to bring him back as well. Watching the Euros 2024, we're going to keep an eye on this, but we'll talk more about the Euros, Copa America, and, of course, Atlanta United. When we get the Five Stripes Countdown started at 6:30, Garrett Chapman is already here in the building, raring to go. But I got to tell him, I got to do this thing first. So that's what we're doing here. It is the Abe TL Show. Abe Gordon here hanging out until 6:30 when we start the Five Stripes Countdown. I got Eric Slaughter hanging out with me as well. Speaking of Atlanta United, Toronto is who is going to be in attendance tonight, as Atlanta United is back at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The big story is Thiago Almada, and the reports are that he is available to play tonight. And there's been a lot of discussion in the past couple of days, really over the last week, about some rumors in regards to him possibly being moved to Botafogo and then down the line to Olympic Lyonnais. And so we're keeping our eyes on that. But as of right now, he is a member of Atlanta United. And the expectation, at least for me, is that he will be playing tonight. The other bit of news that has come down kind of just today is that Caleb Wiley might be in the crosshairs of a little club in London called England called Chelsea. And so we're keeping an eye on that as it develops. I don't know if it would be a move directly to Chelsea, if Chelsea would buy and loan him out, stuff like that. We're at very, very beginning stages of those discussions. I would say the Almada discussion is in the advanced stage. The Caleb Wiley discussion certainly in the very, very early stages. But we are watching it, and obviously they have their window open right now. He's going to be headed to the Olympics in the next couple of weeks. And so we'll see how that progresses and plays out in regards to Atlanta United left back Caleb Wiley. All right. So it's Dyson Daniels. It's Larry Nance Jr. Apparently it's EJ Liddell, who we didn't know was part of this deal last night when I was working my way through it. And it's two first-round picks. They're all coming to Atlanta from the Pelicans in exchange for DeJounte Murray. We are about 23 hours, you know, 22 hours, whatever the number is, since it happened. And I want to ask, I want to get your thoughts now. Now that it's become real, now that you're kind of out of the immediate reaction of it in the moment, because that's what I was dealing with last night. And I understand, myself included, that maybe we didn't approach it quite as level-headed as we needed to be. And I think that's why Chris was getting out some frustration. Now, I had a chance to get out that frustration last night because I was pretty animated last night. There's no working around that. But I've sat and thought about a couple of things, and I'm trying to come at it from a little bit more of a clear mind space. That being said, there's still work to be done. And whether or not we feel a certain way about this trade now or not, if they don't nail the rest of the offseason, there's only one way that this is going to go, and that's the wrong direction. And when I talk about this trade, DeJounte Murray to the Pelicans, and when I talk about waiting to see what's next, the other shoe needs to drop, and it needs to land in the right way. Because if it doesn't, then everyone who said bad deal, didn't get enough for him, you got fleeced, what is this front office doing? They could be right. I'm not trying to say that those people are wrong right now. In fact, I was one of those people last night. What I'm trying to say is I do think we need to give the rest of the offseason a chance to play itself out. And the one thing I do still feel today that I felt last night is this is the first move. It's not the only move that's come in this offseason. Now, we're going to talk about how quickly moves need to come and the timeline for the rest of the offseason as we work our way through the show. But if you want to call in, and even if you called in last night and maybe you want to amend how you felt, how you vented a little bit, feel free to do so. 404-726-0929. Because the one thing I know, it just because it has to be true, is they're not done adding. Probably not done subtracting either. And what we saw last night and what we saw in the NBA draft, bringing in Reese Shea, I don't know what the role of DeAndre Hunter is going to be. And I think he's firmly in the crosshairs. And if you're going to have to move guys, potentially multiple guys in a package, I think DeAndre Hunter's up for grabs right now. I'm not saying I necessarily want him gone, but I think you have to consider it. The interesting thing now, and we're going to get into this a little bit more next segment when I continue some thoughts, is a lot of people were looking at the Atlanta Hawks and saying, well, look, if they want to get younger and kind of want to go that route while building around Trae Young, there's a path to that, but that path would require moving on from Bogdan Bogdanović, who's probably one of the more valuable pieces. I would imagine now that DeJounte's gone, he might be your most valuable trade option because he fits in to pretty much any team and plays his role. But now that you moved on from DeJounte, the question is, what was Bogdan Bogdanović's role going to be now? I know a lot of people are a lot higher on Dyson Daniels than I am. And look, I'm not trying to tear him down, but I'm also not going to build him up when he hasn't shown me something yet either. And I don't think he's getting the first opportunity to be a starting two guard with the Atlanta Hawks if Bogdan Bogdanović is here. And so Bogey's role increases right now. And I'm interested to see if that still makes him movable, if they're still considering a trade. Maybe there's more to that. Obviously, you could find some other guards that you're looking to add. But right now, if I'm not adding another guard, I'm not moving on from Bogdanović. But we'll see if that's the plan for Landry Fields as well. All right, when we come back, going to continue this discussion on the Atlanta Hawks. The fallout continues, and here's the thing. A lot of you have been asking for it. Maybe not in the way that you think, but a lot of you are sitting here asking for exactly what we're doing right now. I'll tell you what I mean when we get back. Again, we'll be taking your calls for the next hour and change. I'm here till 6:30 before we start the Five Stripes countdown. Again, Atlanta United hosting LAFC tonight. It's Abe Gordon here live in the Kia studios. Hey, don't forget, U.S. men's national team desperate for a win on Monday night. We're going to have a watch party at Park Bar, and I'm going to be there. Michelob Ultra is going to be there. They've got some drink specials, a chance to win a couple of prizes as well. Join me at Park Bar. I'm going to get there starting, I think the game's at 9, so I'll be there an hour before at 8. Should have a lot of fun. Had a lot of fun at Manny's Grant Park last week when we had a watch party, and looking forward to it again. That's Monday night for the U.S. men's national team in a must-win game against Uruguay. All right, more Hawks chatter coming your way. I got a lot to say. We'll see if it makes sense, or maybe I could get called an idiot who doesn't know anything about basketball, because that happened a couple times last night as well. Coming your way, it is more Atlanta Hawks basketball here on the Abe TL Show. Abe Gordon and Eric Slaughter right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Welcome back in 92.9 The Game. Abe Gordon here. It is the Abe TL Show live in the Kia studios here. Again, coming up next, the Five Stripes Countdown. Atlanta United hosting Toronto FC. Looking for their first home win in 2 months, however long it's been. It's been a while. They've been a little bit better in terms of results under Rob Valentino, but still looking to break that home winless streak. And so we'll see if they can get that going tonight against a Toronto FC team that has struggled a little bit in recent outings. The Atlanta Braves. The pitching matchup that we are looking forward to. Paul Skeens of the Pittsburgh Pirates, Max Fried of the Atlanta Braves. Paul Skeens has 5 strikeouts in 4 innings, but he's also allowed 5 hits, given up 2 walks, and of course the solo home run to Jared Kelnick that started things off for the Braves. Max Fried has allowed 4 hits, but he's got 3 strikeouts. He's through 4 innings. They're both through 4 innings, so it is a 1-0 game. They're getting some hits, but no, not too many people are touching the plate right now. We'll see if the Atlanta Braves and Max Fried can continue his performance and maybe find a way. The Braves have threatened. They had 2 guys on with 1 out each of the last 2 innings and have been unable to take advantage. Hopefully that doesn't come back to bite them in the you-know-what. 404-726-0929 if you want to get involved with the Atlanta Hawks and the discussion that we were having last night, now turning into what we're talking about today. And I got a couple of things I jotted down, late last night after the show. I was walking, driving home. I was trading a couple tweets with people. I was, whatever. And a couple more. I had to take Chipper in for a vet appointment this morning. And they took her in the back and they did all her the work back there. And I was just jotting down some notes on my phone. And so I've got some stuff here that I didn't necessarily talk about last night. And, in one way or another, it popped into my mind. And so we're going to go through it and see if everyone still feels the same way that they did last night. The other thing that, and I don't even know how to really have this discussion, so I'm just going to come out and say it because there's not really much nuance to bringing it up. What are the Trey haters thinking right now? Like, we had a whole offseason, or really since the Hawks were bounced out of the playoffs, we had this big, big discussion. All the shows did it. Everyone took calls on it. Trey or DeJounte, who should the team back? And there was no shortage on either side, right? It was something that truly split the fan base. Now that it is, at least for the moment, looking like the team has chosen Trey to build around. And what I mean by for the moment is, obviously, if they do eventually somehow move Trey as well, then both sides were wrong. They didn't choose to keep either. But for the moment right now, it looks like the Atlanta Hawks have chosen to build around Trey. Like, what are the Trey haters saying right now? Are they just completely out on the Hawks because they'll never believe Trey can win and it doesn't matter what this offseason is? Now that they moved DeJounte, the offseason's just all for naught anyways? Are they going to come around and try and believe in Trey? I'm interested in that. And if you are one of those who are move Trey at any cost, keep DeJounte, he's the real captain, winner of this team, blah, blah, blah. And I don't have a problem if you feel that way. You're you're entitled to your opinions. I'm actually now more interested in what your thought process is. Are you still in on the Hawks? Or are you just, are you hoping Trey fails to prove you right? 404-726-0929. Here's the thing. For the Trey backers, for the Trey can do no wrong group of people, they have cried out for the last 3 years that the Hawks have not done a good job building around Trey Young. They have not put the right pieces and right players around Trey Young. To an extent, they're right. To an extent, I don't think it's all on the fact that maybe we haven't had what we need, but there certainly is some of that. No denying that. Isn't this the chance? Like, if we're looking at what we need around Trey Young to win, isn't this the chance? Don't you have, finally, the roster flexibility to do that? You're adding some 3-and-D guys. You're adding some guys who can play defense. Isn't this what a lot of people have been asking for? Proper roster construction, this or that? I mean, we keep suggesting that Reza Shea and Dyson Daniels can help improve the team defense. We talk about Reza Shea and the potential of his outside shooting. We brought back Garrison Matthews. We know what he can do shooting from the outside. I mean, isn't this your opportunity to continue doing what we've said? Get some high-level two-way players? Now, you're still way too weak on the inside, and to me, that's the priority. Even after losing DeJounte Murray, the priority is not find another guard to replace DeJounte. The priority to me is inside. How do you get better at the five, at the center position? And that's not because I think Dyson Daniels is replacing DeJounte Murray. I don't. But I think you have enough right now to enter the season at the two. Bogey moves into the starting lineup. Dyson Daniels maybe the first guard off the bench. I think Kobe Bufkin enters that discussion as well. That's the real interesting thing to me, because I imagine that Dyson Daniels will play summer league. I imagine Kobe Bufkin will play summer league, and certainly Reza Shea. I'm interested. I'm really interested to see summer league. It's going to be the first time in a while, I think. 404-726-0929. I got a lot more to say on the Atlanta Hawks, but we want to take your calls if you have them. Share some thoughts. Now that we're a little bit removed from the immediacy of last night and the reaction, what are you thinking? 404-726-0929. We got Big Soul in Decatur. What's going on, Big Soul?
Hey, man. I think, I understand the people that are upset on the return that we got for DJ, but I think that when you realize that we overpaid to get him and what we got back is probably a fair value, and actually we did pretty well. Dyson Daniels can guard 1 through 4. His shot is the issue there. He's not like a shoot. You know, his shot is not something you have to respect. However, his defense is elite. I think you're on spot on with looking for bulking the five position and securing that. I would go after Walker Kessler. There's reports that he's up for trade. And as far as summer league, you're leaving out Mo Gay. That's a 7-footer that moves, and you know all these things that we were talking about. You know, we are in love with Sar for. He does them, and he's got a nice looking three already. He's proven that in the short little slice that we got last season. But you know, Bufkin absolutely could slide in, and if he makes a leap, I don't think Dyson Daniels is going to be in summer leagues, being that he's this like his third or fourth season. So, but other than that, I pretty much agree with you. But I would tell everyone just kind of chill. I think we just overpaid, and we getting back, you know, the value that he's actually worth.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Big Soul. A couple things. I do like Mo Gay. From what I've hearing though, is he's not really a five. He's more of a four. And so we still need a little bit of beef. Kessler obviously would be of interest, but I'll believe that they can make a trade like that when I see it. I'd like to get that's my biggest concern. When I look at needing someone to play the five, I don't know how you get them. Like, I don't think you're going to be able to pay for Hartenstein. I don't think a trade for DeAndre Ayton's on the table anymore. Kessler, sure, but I mean, you're going to have to pay these guys at some point. So we'll see how that plays out. I do think you can find a way to be a little bit more role specific with your five, specifically on the defensive end, but we'll see how that plays out. Here's the other thing. We're all trying to grade this trade right now, and I think we are all assuming that the Lakers pick in 2025 is not going to be a significant one. And I absolutely understand that discussion. I'm not suggesting it will be. All I'm saying is how we view this trade could change depending on that pick. It's fair to be frustrated now. I just want you to be open to saying, boy, was I wrong if that Lakers pick turns into something. Again, the 2027 first-round pick is almost a lock to not be in the lottery because you got two teams. You got the Bucks or the Pelicans. Whichever pick is worse in the first round of those two is what you get. It's very tough to believe that in 3 years, both the Pelicans as they're built now and the Bucks as they're built now are both going to be in the lottery. Very tough to believe that. And so 2027 is almost certain to not be a high-level first-round pick. But the Lakers in 2025, I know we look at it, and LeBron and Rich Paul can say that they're exploring all options to improving that team. If LeBron gets hurt, if AD goes down, they could miss the playoffs. And that pick could be something. That pick could end up as a top 10 pick. And then I think you have to evaluate this trade differently. And so when I'm trying to express patience, it is twofold. It is, okay, this trade does not put the roster where we need it to be right now. But this is not the only move to be made this offseason. Let's see what else gets done. And then also on the patient side of things, we got a long way to go before we find out what that Lakers pick is. I'm not saying I'm overly optimistic that it's going to be in the lottery, but I'm not saying there's no chance either. And as we found out this year, just put yourself there. Who knows what sort of opportunity you have. 404-726-0929. I got a lot more to say on the Atlanta Hawks, but we'll continue on the phones with Super Mike in Atlanta. What's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going? Big fan of the show. So you just kind of mentioned it that there's going to be more trades this offseason. I guess my question is, do you think they are going to keep Trae Young around if they're already looking towards the future, you know, throwing DeJounte Murray back into their team, almost doing sort of a Utah Jazz thing and just, like, taking this one off, seeing what those picks become? I just feel like this team isn't really at a spot to compete with those big dogs in the East right now, and that we almost need just a few years to just, like, get the best roster possible.
Yeah, so, Mike, my first reaction last night was that it feels like it's headed towards a full rebuild, which would mean trading DeJounte and then also trading Trae. That was my first reaction last night, and that was an emotional reaction. I am pulling off of that a little bit because of the first thing I said this segment, and that is we've been asking for 3 years to build around Trae with the right pieces, and this is the first opportunity where you have roster construction flexibility, and you pull in Reza Shea, who is a 3D+. Like, that's what the hope is he's 3D+. You pull in Dyson Daniels, who, yes, he has to improve his three-point shot. Not arguing that. But he does improve your defense, especially if he's coming off the bench to do so. I think you're putting yourself in a situation where DeAndre Hunter, if he stays with this team, is also going to come off the bench. 3D guy who's been much better in that role than he ever was as a starter. So I do think that they are going to give Trae an opportunity to let this roster build itself with hopefully the right type of pieces, because for the Trae haters are never going to feel this way, but the people who back Trae are, and that is that we have not done a good job here in Atlanta building around Trae, his skill set, and what he can do. And this feels like you're trying to build in that manner. Here's the problem. I also think there's a situation where Trae is not comfortable with what you bring in this offseason and ass out. And that's why I think it's real careful stepping on the tippy toes, walking on eggshells right now for Landry Fields. Because I can see a world, because if I were Trae Young and I was in this position, and we've already seen him talk about, I'd like to win in Atlanta, but more importantly than winning in Atlanta is just winning. And if it has to be somewhere else, it has to be somewhere else. If I were Trae Young, I'm keeping a real close eye on what the next couple of steps are going to be, because I'm probably not far of asking out myself. Now, they could make the right moves, and they could sell me that they're building what I need in Atlanta to win. But if they don't do that, if I'm Trae Young and they don't sell me on the fact that I can win here this year, I would ask out. And I think that is still a real possibility that whatever moves are left to be made this offseason do not impress Trae Young enough to where he feels he wants to play it out. And I think that is still possible. And so we're just going to have to see. And I think that's the pressure that's on Landry Fields now. You've set your course. You've made your direction. Now you have to impress your superstar, or else he's going to be someone else's star. Got a lot more to say here. Only got through about half of my points of that segment. So we're going to continue and get through it. It is the Abe TL Show, talking about the Atlanta Hawks. Taking your calls as well on the other side on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back in the Abe TL Show. On a Saturday afternoon, can't really tell if the rain has kind of cleared out. I know it was there for a little bit and just humming around. It's hot and muggy out there. There's no doubt about that. I was walking Chipper before I came in, and all I could think about is the Peachtree on Thursday. And I'm like, oh, thank God it's not like a noon start or something. It is brutal out there today. And it's brutal out there most days, obviously, but with the rain approaching, the mugginess, the humidity was ticking up even more. So, by the way, shoot me a tweet at Abe Gordon if you're running the Peachtree this Thursday here in Atlanta. Let me know what your starting wave or group, whatever you want to call it, what your start wave is, and then what sort of time you're hoping to tally in there. And maybe we can connect at the finish line. And figure it out. I think I'm going to be waiting in the finish area there at Piedmont Park quite a while for my dad. So we'll have to figure that out. He's not as fast as he used to be. Had a knee replacement a couple months ago, but He's still running. He started running again like a month ago, and he's ready to go for the Peachtree. There's probably only a handful of people here in Atlanta who have ran more Peachtree road races than my father. And quite honestly, there's probably only a handful who have done it faster than him as well, going back in the day. So, going to be running it, won't be running it with him, but we'll head down there together, I guess. Quick update on the Atlanta Braves. It is now a tie ball game, 1-1. Max Fried gave up a run in the fifth inning on a sack fly. Max Fried now up to 85 pitches through five. So he's probably only got one inning left unless it's a unexpectedly quick one. And Paul Skenes, who is thrown 4 2/3, also nearing topping 80 pitches as well. So he may just have one left. I don't know if they're extending him to what extent. So I don't even know if he'll go another inning. It depends if they're taking him up to 100 and 105, 110 or not. But we'll keep an eye on what the Braves have got going on. But, unlike some other expected pitchers' duels that have turned into like 7-8 ball games, it is 1-1, and the run came early on a Jared Kelnick solo shot to start the bottom of the first, and then just recently, again, just a sack fly for Pittsburgh. But we'll see if the Braves can retake the lead. They do have a runner in scoring position. In about 45 minutes, the Five Stripes Countdown is going to start. Myself and Garrett Chapman, Atlanta United, back at home taking on Toronto FC, looking to continue their run of improved results, I guess you will call it, since Rob Valentino has taken over. Continuing the discussion on the Atlanta Hawks, 404-726-0929 if you want to get in. And like I said, you can also shoot me a note on Twitter /X at Abe Gordon. Just ask for your Peachtree start wave and your hopeful goal time. But you can also certainly share comments in regards to the Atlanta Hawks as well. One of the more interesting angles that I think has popped up for me is the patience of the Atlanta fan base. Because I think you're in an interesting window right now that this team has got to make a move quick. This team has got to look like it has a plan and a direction, because last night didn't feel that way. And for a lot of people who felt like the team got fleeced last night, I understand that. I'm not here to change your mind on that. If you want to feel that way, absolutely go ahead. But as I've said, I do think there has to be a little bit of a patience required here, because I believe it was the first move and not the last move of this offseason. But I will say this. I think the longer this roster looks like it looks without significant additions, people are going to buy out. They're not going to buy in. The free agent negotiating window starts tomorrow at 6 p.m. And I don't know who. I don't know how much it'll cost, but there's got to be some additions to this Atlanta Falcons group, and I think it has to come quick. Obviously, we talked about it. A center is my first choice. I think you have to add some improved play at the five. And I don't know if a shooting guard's in the discussion right now or not. I think you certainly can continue to upgrade there, but I don't think you necessarily have to. I mean, it's interesting for me, because if you add a shooting guard that you think is starting, now you've got Bogey, Hunter, and Dyson Daniels potentially on your bench with Kobe Bufkin. I mean, Garrison Matthews, Veet Krejci. So I actually don't know if a shooting guard, I don't know if you need to upgrade there. I think Bogey slips into the starting lineup, and you go from there. Let's continue on the phone lines, 404-726-0929 if you want to chat about the Atlanta Hawks and the fallout from the move that is now 23 hours old. We got Kendall out in, he's a former defensive back, former or current? Current defensive back for the Lions calling in. He's riding around town listening. Wants to chat about the Atlanta Hawks. What's going on, Kendall?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Doing good, brother, man. How are you?
I was so hurt when I got news yesterday.
Uh-oh.
I was hurt. I mean, I was actually on the way to Truist Park, man. One of my boys called me, like, did you see it? And then a couple of friends text me, like, man, I can't believe the Hawks did it. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
So
I just
now that we're 23 hours removed, because, look, when it happened last night, I was prepping for a show, right? I came on last night at 7 p.m. It had just happened at 6:40. I tore up my rundown, and now I've got a plan for 3 hours of content based on something I just found out 8 minutes ago. Now that we're 23 hours removed, how do you feel about not just the trade but the potential for the rest of the offseason to try and build this back up?
I feel like we're definitely going to have to need a two-guard just because – like, I heard you talking about Bogey. I don't know if I like Bogey starting in the court with Trey for defensive purposes. And I feel like Bogey just can't create his own shot like that. Like, Trey would have to set him up and everything like that. So I was just a big DeJounte fan. Just because I feel like he kind of brought a different type of swag to Atlanta, like a type of toughness that we didn't have before. I feel like now we're definitely going to be lacking that. But, you know, we'll see how it goes.
If you want defense in that rotation there with Trey, are we considering Dyson Daniels starting? He gives you very little offensively, but we
exactly,
we,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. They say he's supposed to be an elite defender. I haven't really watched a lot of them, but I saw like some stats saying that he was like top ranked in the NBA as far as on ball defense and this and that.
I'd be careful looking at stats here, Kendall.
Yeah, for sure.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
This is the way I feel about documentaries, too. Like, how can they make a documentary that says being a vegan is the best diet you can have while also making a documentary that says being on the carnivore diet is the healthiest thing? Like, those are so polar opposites, and they both make compelling cases. I'd be very careful, not just with stats, but, like, I'm seeing a couple highlights, like, float around.
Right.
Obviously, they're not going to send out the highlights of Dyson Daniels getting cooked, but
correct.
So he locked down Harden on one possession. That's by the way, he didn't really lock him down. Harden just didn't shoot when he created space. But yeah, so exactly. I'd be careful. Look, I'm not suggesting that he's not good at defense and everything's a lie, but I find it very tough to be in the NBA right now with a defense first shooting guard. That's my concern. Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like when you look at Kyrie and Luka, you know what I mean? I feel like similar Trey DeJounte. You know what I mean? I just wonder why it didn't work.
Well, the thing with Kyrie and Luka is that Luka's not really a point guard in the way that Trey's a point guard. And the body, and I don't want to get into the Luka defensive discussion. Luka can play defense when he wants to. He just doesn't want to.
Just his size would let him too. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So, yeah, to me, I still think you're okay at shooting guard. Because once you get in the flow of game and you do use Daniels and you do use DeAndre Hunter in certain moments as well, Kobe Bufkin, I think we'll find out, is going to be very good defensively as well. I think the pieces are there. I don't know how you can add. Yeah, I don't know if you can add a starting two with the guys that you have. That might cost you Bogey, it might cost you Hunter, and now we're you know, you try and figure out what the team is from that point on. But I'm pretty comfortable with what we have. I don't know, maybe I'm just higher on Bogey, and I agree with you defensively.
Sure.
Defensively it's a bit tough on that perspective of things.
Yeah. And last thing, so I'm like, when I look at the rosters on the East, like the Magic, you know what I mean? Like, and I look at the Hawks roster, like, I don't see why we couldn't be a top six seed even right now with the trade right now. You know what I mean? I feel like it just could all come down to just playing, gelling together, and just playing defense and getting wins.
Well, you got to get, and this goes back to what we started the discussion with. You've got to upgrade at the five. You're not going to be a top six seed with Capella or Okongwu or Mogae. You've got to upgrade there into a It doesn't even have to be like a high-level NBA starter. Like just a mid. Because you're not asking them to do much. When you've got Trae Young, Jalen Johnson's your second option, and then whether it's Bogey, Hunter, and Reza Shea is your third option, you're not asking guys to do a ton on offense. You got a guy, and that's why we talk about someone like Walker Kessler. You got to get someone in here that can rebound and play defense, protect the rim. And that's unfortunately Capella could do that a couple years ago. That has faded away a little bit in recent seasons.
Right, and that, I feel like that's why I wanted Sarr. He could have been that 5-4. You know what I mean? But that a different story with the agent and all that. So that's a different story.
Yeah, one thing here for you, Kendall. Obviously, you're playing with the Lions. Got very close a year ago. What do you think could maybe make the difference for the team this year as you head into training camp in a couple of weeks? What do you think can maybe make it a difference between getting to the NFC title game and winning it for the Detroit Lions this year?
I feel like we just got to keep that same edge that we had. You know, it's never going to be easy going and having that success and then trying to repeat it because, like, the team's getting better and better each year, so just having that good mindset, and I feel like we added good pieces on defense, offense as well. And just now we have that experience of getting there and knowing what it takes to get there and being in that spotlight in that big moment. So I feel like we'll be ready, and Dan Kevin will have us ready for sure.
Absolutely. Appreciate you calling in. Enjoy chatting Hawks with you, man.
Yes, sir.
All righty. Again, Atlanta Hawks, they've got to add a couple things, but I actually don't feel terrible about where they are right now. I don't. Could you upgrade at the two? Maybe. And if the piece is there to do so, sure. But if it has to be Bogey starting with Dyson Daniels and Kobe Bufkin right behind him, I'm okay there. Garrison Matthews, we mentioned as well. Okay. Vic Krejci, sure. Like, if that's your backcourt depth, okay. But what you really have to do is get better at the five. That's my number one priority. All right. We got one more thing I got to say about the Atlanta Hawks on the other side. Then we're going to talk about the Braves as well. Got about 30 minutes left here on the ABTL show before we start the Five Stripes countdown. It's all coming your way next as we get going in the 6 o'clock hour right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game. The ABTL show here on a Saturday afternoon watching, well, following, because of the Xfinity situation, Paul Skeens and Max Fried. And I would guess that Max Fried is done. He went 6 innings, 103 pitches, allowing one run. Paul Skeens is now at 100 pitches as well, trying to get his final out of the 6th inning. So we'll see. This might be a battle of the bullpens in what has been a very well-pitched game on both sides. You know, one of the bigger parts of contention here in regards to the Atlanta Hawks, and I do want to talk Atlanta Braves here for a little bit as well, but I do have one final thing I want to say about the Hawks. One of the bigger parts of contention has been about the quality and potential of Dyson Daniels. And look, The question to me is, what are you asking Dyson Daniels to do for you as he continues to develop? This is a guy that was the 8th overall pick 2 years ago out of Australia. This is a guy that has kind of worked his way into the rotation a little bit there for the Pelicans, but really hasn't been necessarily what I would call a mainstay in regards to their rotation and his role and what he's been asked to do. This is a guy that appears to be a defensive specialist, if you will, that needs to get better with his three-point shooting. That doesn't mean he can't improve from three. Doesn't mean right now he's a finished product and this is what he'll always be. But while we being the Atlanta Hawks, are working with him and waiting to continue to improve, what is his role going to be with the Atlanta Hawks? And I personally have a tough time believing that you are bringing him in to be your starting two guard. That could change, though. And it depends who's here. If Bogdan Bogdanovic is here, in my opinion, he's your starting two. If you have to move off of Bogey for some reason, maybe it does become Dyson Daniels at the two. And we talked about how this team is trying to reshape itself defensively. And if you're going to run out there a team with Dyson Daniels at the two, Zachary Risacher at the three, Jalen Johnson at the four, you have potential to be very good on defense in some parts, but you still have to get better with the big man. You still got to find someone who can improve your defense down low. I think Kobe Bufkin works his way into the situation as well. This is a guy that can hound you defensively. Now, he's maybe more in the Trae Young backup role with Garrison Matthews as your two off the bench. DeAndre Hunter as well. And so I do think the role of Dyson Daniels is going to be one of the bigger talking points for Atlanta Hawks fans. And it really also seems like Dyson Daniels feels like the make or break of this trade as well. And I don't mean in terms of the Hawks. I mean in terms of the fans feeling comfortable with the price that was paid. Because to me, for the group of people that view Dyson Daniels as a role player, a positional piece coming off the bench that's part of this deal, they feel like the Hawks got fleeced. For the group of people who view Dyson Daniels, former number 8 overall pick 2 years ago, as coming in, improving from three, starting at the two spot, being a defensive menace, and a key part of this deal, they're going to say the Hawks right now have won this trade. Not necessarily won this trade, but done well in their return. Dyson Daniels is probably the key to this discussion. And we may not have an answer immediately. It may not be this offseason. It may have to play itself into the season and see what he's got. But based on what I've seen on Twitter, the phone calls that I've had to take, and some of the discussions I've had, even in person, Dyson Daniels is the guy in this discussion that is going to make people view the return of this trade one way or another. Now, I don't know if that's fair on him. I don't know if he can live up to what some Hawks fans are asking him to be. I'm not asking him to be a starting two guard in this league that is locking down guards left and right, because I don't think that's realistic. It feels like we're asking him to be Drew Holiday. Like that's kind of the notion I'm getting from a lot of people. Like, this guy's going to come in and lock down, put the clamps on dudes, and if he can improve his three, he's going to be that piece. I mean, is he Derek White? Is he Drew Holiday? I don't know. Not saying he's not. But it feels like that's what we're asking him to do for the people that are, this is a great return, he's a great player, he's going to make the difference. I don't know if that's fair. That's not where I'm at. I think he is a good piece. I think he very greatly improves the depth off the bench, especially defensively. But I don't know if he's a starter for this team. And I think that's going to be what's interesting when we continue to discuss the return for DeJounte Murray. All right, a couple things for the Atlanta Braves that I want to get to here. Right now, it is 1-1. Max Fried is out of the game. Pierce Johnson has come in. He's trying to work his way through the seventh inning. And so this could come down to the bullpens, because Paul Skeens' pitch count is also above 100. He's now at 102, and he's got 9 strikeouts. I feel like they're probably done with him as well. So it could be a battle of the bullpens. In recent weeks, I've felt good about the bullpen. Maybe others feel different, but Pierce Johnson is on right now in a tie ball game. Very interesting moments here for the Braves. This is a 9-game homestand that I'm not saying makes or breaks the season, but I do think it's somewhat a defining stretch for the second half of the season. Right now we're at the midway point, and you've got 9 home games right now. Well, 8. You won last night. You guys can do the math. I wrote this yesterday. But it's a 9-game homestand. You got 8 games left on it. If we really don't be accurate, like 7.5 games, because this one's halfway done. But you get the point. You got 3 against, well, again, next up's the Giants and then the Phillies. I think you get my point. And you're wrapping this thing up with the Philadelphia Phillies here at home. You haven't seen them since the early stages of the season. And we know what they've done since then. But we also remember what you did to them. And I think this is an option here where if the Braves, who started this game started the stretch eight games back, there's potential for you to get this thing down to 6 or 5, something like that. And I think this is a key homestand for the Braves. If it goes the other way, again, I'm not saying the season's over, but it feels like if this homestand goes the other way and you get to that series against the Phillies and you're 9 back and they take 2 or 3 and now you're 10 back, then it probably is the wild card. But if you can get it down to 5 or 6, maybe it could be a chase is on. And so it's a very key series, but the one thing you can't do is look ahead to the Phillies. You've got to focus on yourselves first and take care of business today and tomorrow against the Pirates and then the 3 against the Giants. Got a little bit of frustrating news in regards to the Atlanta Braves earlier this week in regards to the MLB All-Star voting. And they have entered phase 2 of the All-Star votes. And Kyle Schwarber of the Phillies caught and passed Marcelo Ozuna in All-Star voting for the DH position. So Ozuna's not going to be part of phase 2. Now you're in a situation, though, where both Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber are injured and have both been placed on the 10-day IL. Look, neither one of them were going to catch Shohei Ohtani. It's pretty frustrating after the season that Marcelo Ozuna's had that he was caught and passed by Kyle Schwarber. And I don't know if Ozuna's going to get to the All-Star game. I mean, it's a likelihood of you having 2, maybe 3 pitchers in regards to Chris Sale, Max Fried, and potentially even Ronaldo Lopez going to the All-Star game. A lot of people are also going to be pushing for Jesse Chavez to finally make an All-Star game. He's having an outstanding season for the Braves, which of course he is. I don't know if Ozuna's going to make the All-Star game. This is a guy that yesterday, at least in the moment, I haven't looked at the updated stats today, but yesterday he retook the lead for RBI in the National League. And there's a real chance that he misses the All-Star game. And that would be tough. But if you're going to take 3 pitchers and Schwarber and Shohei, I mean, how many DHs are you really going to take? Now, Ozuna did say he would participate in the home run derby if invited. I don't know how interested they are in that. Where's the All-Star game? E, do you know off the top of your head, where's the All-Star game? Texas, yeah. Like, if it were in St. Louis, maybe because of his history there, I could sell you on Marcelo Ozuna being a draw for that. I find it very tough to think that the league itself, with as many high-profile names and players they could draw, I find it difficult to believe that Marcelo Ozuna is going to be invited to the home run derby.
The derby? That's a good one.
They're going to have to turn down a lot of people would have to turn down that invite for it to work its way to Marcel. But he did say that he would,
participate
if invited.
Yeah,
he did say. No, it wasn't like a lock, you know, a verbal contract. But, like, yeah, he said he'd be interested. He'd, you know, get after it. Another thing about the Atlanta Braves real quick before we break for the final segment. Tomorrow, early game that's going to be on Roku. And so good luck. Now, I have a Roku TV, so I'm actually able to watch this thing. I'm not sure that many people have a Roku TV or have Roku or whatever. I think it's an 11:35 game, which is part of their plan, part of the Roku MLB streaming plan. So 11:35 tomorrow, Atlanta Braves first pitch. So that's something. It's you know, if you haven't been able to watch on Xfinity for the last 50 days or however long it's been, maybe you have Roku. Should I throw a watch party at my house? I'm having a watch party at Park Bar for the U.S. men's national team Monday night against Uruguay, needing a victory. And I invite all of you down to join me, Park Bar, 8 p.m. Monday night. Maybe I should have everyone come join me 11 a.m. at Casa La Abe for a Roku TV. What? Now, the only problem is the Roku TV is TV number 3. And so you guys are going to have to deal with it being top right. And who knows what else I'd be watching. Euros at noon. That'll be on. And then, I don't know, it's probably like a rerun of Jurassic World can be on one of the TVs too. It's an enjoyable film, even muted. But yeah, Roku tomorrow. Interested to see how their coverage looks for MLB. I don't think I've watched a game on Roku yet. So we'll check it out tomorrow. Speaking of the Braves, still tied 1-1 here in the seventh inning, and looks like it's going to be heading to the eighth with that score as well. All right, we are going to get you set up for the Five Stripes Countdown. Garrett Chapman has now joined me in studio. I'll have a final word on the Hawks. I'll remind you once again what we got going on with the Braves and Atlanta United and the watch party, and we'll have a little bit of fun as we wrap things up. It is the Abe TL Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Final couple minutes here. Straight up to my the face. Abe TL Show live in the Kia Studios. Abe Gordon here. And I'm going to be here for a little while longer as the Five Stripes Countdown is coming your way again. Atlanta United against Toronto FC. Atlanta United going to be wearing the red and black tonight. And I'll tell you what, I don't really go out of my way to say this often, but I saw the threads for Toronto FC. The white with the red trim pops pretty nicely for Toronto FC. I honestly hope that's the highlight of their day, is the kits that they are wearing tonight. Looking pretty sharp. Of course, Atlanta United's, as always, looking good as well. The Braves have entered the late stages. It is in the eighth inning now, top of the eighth inning, with a 1-1 scoreline. So still hoping the Braves can find a way. Just keeping an eye as well on the rival Phillies. They are trailing right now at home 3-2 to the Miami Marlins. That one is in the eighth inning as well. So I'm hopeful, I guess, that the Marlins could close it out. Maybe the Braves can find a way to win, and we can grab another game on the Phillies today. But we'll see. A couple of times I thought the Phillies were going to wrap it up, and they did not. So, I thought they were going to lose, and they found a way to come back in late innings. So we'll see how that goes right now. Joe Jimenez is on the bump against Key Brian Hayes. And so we'll see exactly how it plays out in that battle and for the rest of the inning and throughout the rest of the game as well. But, again, very key stretch for the Atlanta Braves here, a 9-game homestand that's going to close out with 3 games against the Phillies. And you have got to take some steps forward in this homestand if you want to have a hope of running down the Phillies. I think it's – not saying it's late, but – when we go back to the 10.5 game lead the Mets had, that was on June 1st, and we are now approaching July 1st. And obviously it's not 10.5 right now, but you also can't be closer to 10 than you are to 5 when you come out of this homestand. That's how I look at it. So you need to be at worst 7 or 6 games out when this homestand wraps up. And to do that, you're going to have to take it to the Phillies, depending on what you accomplish in the six games leading up to it. So that's what we've got in regards to the Atlanta Braves. Again, interesting day tomorrow for the Atlanta Hawks. And it seems relatively quiet right now since the DeJounte Murray trade. I don't see a lot of rumors. Here's the thing, though. Like, the DeJounte Murray trade didn't build. It just happened. Like, it was very quiet, no rumors, just out of the blue happened. Could that happen with free agency as well? Because the free agent negotiating window for the NBA does open tomorrow afternoon / evening at 6 p.m. And I have not heard the Braves in on anyone. I really haven't. Did I say Braves? I meant Hawks. I haven't heard the Braves in on anyone either. But it's going to be real interesting to see because it's been very quiet. But it was also, I mean, it was so quiet in regards to the Atlanta Hawks that we had started trending towards the idea of, well, maybe they're just going to run it back with Trey and DeJounte. Like, a lot of people started moving in that direction. And then out of the blue, it happens. Could that also be how it's going to trend for free agency? We'll find out starting tomorrow at 6, because that is when the free agent negotiating window opens. Very interested to see how that plays out as well. Because now that I know that they can actually, like, keep a secret and get things done in quiet, I'm a little optimistic that maybe there's something going on there also. So we'll just have to see how that plays out. Euro 2024 had their first day of knockouts today. Germany moved on. They beat Denmark. I think the final was 2-0. And then Italy going bye-bye. The defending European champions out of the tournament today. They lost 2-0 to the Swiss, who have just played an outstanding tournament thus far. And so that's where you stand in that one. Copa America going on as well. Got a couple of games coming your way. But most importantly here for us, at least for me, the U.S. men's national team on Monday night, they have to get a win to advance. They are going to have to beat Uruguay, who has looked like one of the better teams in all of the Copa America 2024 tournament. So they're going to have to find a way to win, and we're going to be doing it with a watch party at Park Bar. I mentioned it a couple times. Had a great time at the watch party at Manny's in Grant Park. So hoping we can run it back both in terms of the enjoyment level but also in terms of the result, because it was a 2-0 win in that one. We'll see if it can be against Uruguay as well. So need a win, but also need you guys to come hang out and chat about, and we're going to talk about everything. We can talk about the future of Greg Berhalter if things start turning south early in that one. But we are going to be at Park Bar Monday night, 8 o'clock, for a watch party. Michelob Ultra is going to be there. They're going to have some drink specials as well. So come hang out. We'll have some fun. Win or lose, it'll be a good time. So there you go. We got Atlanta United coming up here against Toronto FC. And still looking for our first home win under Rob Valentino. I know the results have ticked upwards a little bit, but need more. Need to get more. And if we talk about a turnaround, any sort of turnaround for Atlanta United, it has to start by winning your home games. You also kind of need to buoy a little bit because you got a very difficult road game looming with Real Salt Lake. I know you got a road game against New England first, but that road game against Real Salt Lake is going to be very difficult. Who knows who you'll have for it as well, because we know about the rumors involving Thiago Almada. Obviously, Giakoumakis is gone. The Almada discussion is starting to ramp up. He is going to be playing today. But who knows? Is this potentially the last game for Thiago Almada? We'll keep an eye on all the news. And then there's also been some late-breaking discussions, rumors, reports, whatever you want to call it. I don't think we're too advanced yet, but apparently Caleb Wiley is in the crosshairs, and there might be a couple of teams, including a couple big teams in Europe, that are interested in Caleb Wiley. You're going to lose Almada and Wiley either way for the Olympics coming up. Almada you might lose for good based on being sold. And now it looks like there's potential for Caleb Wiley as well. So we'll see. Again, the talks are still very, very early in those stages. All right, that's going to do it here for the Abe TL Show. I'm going to be back with Andy and Randy on Monday. I will have you from 2 to 6, though, on July 4th. I'm going to go home, run the peach tree, and come right back here into Midtown. Hope they cleared the streets by then, because I got a show to do on Thursday, July 4th. And so I got a lot. We'll see. I'm hoping that we have some actual news, more stuff from the Atlanta Hawks by then, because the free agent window will have opened, and we'll see if the Hawks can get involved in those discussions. But I'll have a lot of discussion. We've got some Hawks things planned on July 4th as well, and certainly some fun. I know Eric Slaughter said he's going to be with me. We'll do some barbecue cookout discussions. I'll have my annual tirade on how pathetic firework displays are. It'll be a fun Independence Day, and so I'll be back with you from 2 to 6 then. That's going to do it here for the Abe TL Show today. Coming up next, it is the Five Stripes Countdown. Garrett Chapman and myself get you set for Atlanta United against Toronto FC. You get a home game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Eric Slaughter, thanks as always. And we'll chat with you next time on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game. The Abe TL Show here on a Saturday afternoon, watching, well, following, because of the Xfinity situation, Paul Skeens and Max Fried. And I would guess that Max Fried is done. He went 6 innings, 103 pitches, allowing 1 run. Paul Skeens is now at 100 pitches as well, trying to get his final out of the 6th inning. So we'll see. This might be a battle of the bullpens in what has been a very well-pitched game on both sides. You know, one of the bigger parts of contention here in regards to the Atlanta Hawks, and I do want to talk Atlanta Braves here for a little bit as well, but I do have one final thing I want to say about the Hawks. One of the bigger parts of contention has been about the quality and potential of Dyson Daniels. And look, The question to me is, what are you asking Dyson Daniels to do for you as he continues to develop? This is a guy that was the eighth overall pick 2 years ago out of Australia. This is a guy that has kind of worked his way into the rotation a little bit there for the Pelicans, but really hasn't been necessarily what I would call a mainstay in regards to their rotation and his role and what he's been asked to do. This is a guy that appears to be a defensive specialist, if you will, that needs to get better with his three-point shooting. That doesn't mean he can't improve from three. Doesn't mean right now he's a finished product and this is what he'll always be. But while we being the Atlanta Hawks, are working with him and waiting to continue to improve, what is his role going to be with the Atlanta Hawks? And I personally have a tough time believing that you are bringing him in to be your starting two guard. That could change, though. And it depends who's here. If Bogdan Bogdanovic is here, in my opinion, he's your starting two. If you have to move off of Bogey for some reason, maybe it does become Dyson Daniels at the two. And we talked about how this team is trying to reshape itself defensively. And if you're going to run out there a team with Dyson Daniels at the two, Zachary Risacher at the three, Jalen Johnson at the four, you have potential to be very good on defense in some parts, but you still have to get better with the big man. You still got to find someone who can improve your defense down low. I think Kobe Bufkin works his way into the situation as well. This is a guy that can hound you defensively. Now, he's maybe more in the Trae Young backup role with Garrison Matthews as your two off the bench. DeAndre Hunter as well. And so I do think the role of Dyson Daniels is going to be one of the bigger talking points for Atlanta Hawks fans. And it really also seems like Dyson Daniels feels like the make or break of this trade as well. And I don't mean in terms of the Hawks. I mean in terms of the fans feeling comfortable with the price that was paid. Because to me, for the group of people that view Dyson Daniels as a role player, a positional piece, coming off the bench that's part of this deal, they feel like the Hawks got fleeced. For the group of people who view Dyson Daniels, former number 8 overall pick 2 years ago, as coming in, improving from three, starting at the two spot, being a defensive menace, and a key part of this deal, they're going to say the Hawks right now have won this trade. Not necessarily won this trade, but done well in their return. Dyson Daniels is probably the key to this discussion. And we may not have an answer immediately. It may not be this offseason. It may have to play itself into the season and see what he's got. But based on what I've seen on Twitter, the phone calls that I've had to take, and some of the discussions I've had, even in person, Dyson Daniels is the guy in this discussion that is going to make people view the return of this trade one way or another. Now, I don't know if that's fair on him. I don't know if he can live up to what some Hawks fans are asking him to be. I'm not asking him to be a starting two guard in this league that is locking down guards left and right, because I don't think that's realistic. It feels like we're asking him to be Drew Holiday. Like that's kind of the notion I'm getting from a lot of people. Like, this guy's going to come in and lock down, put the clamps on dudes, and if he can improve his three, he's going to be that piece. I mean, is he Derek White? Is he Drew Holiday? I don't know. Not saying he's not. But it feels like that's what we're asking him to do for the people that are, this is a great return, he's a great player, he's going to make the difference. I don't know if that's fair. That's not where I'm at. I think he is a good piece. I think he very greatly improves the depth off the bench, especially defensively. But I don't know if he's a starter for this team. And I think that's going to be what's interesting when we continue to discuss the return for DeJounte Murray. All right, a couple things for the Atlanta Braves that I want to get to here. Right now it is 1-1. Max Fried is out of the game. Pierce Johnson has come in. He's trying to work his way through the seventh inning. And so this could come down to the bullpens because Paul Skene's pitch count is also above 100. He's now at 102, and he's got 9 strikeouts. I feel like they're probably done with him as well. So it could be a battle of the bullpens. In recent weeks, I felt good about the bullpen. Maybe others feel different, but Pierce Johnson is on right now in a tie ball game. Very interesting moments here for the Braves. This is a 9-game homestand that I'm not saying makes or breaks the season, but I do think it's somewhat a defining stretch for the second half of the season. Right now we're at the midway point, and you've got 9 home games right now. Well, 8. You won last night. You guys can do the math. I wrote this yesterday. But it's a 9-game homestand. You got 8 games left on it. If we really don't be accurate, like 7.5 games, because this one's halfway done. But you get the point. You got 3 against, well, again, next up's the Giants and then the Phillies. I think you get my point. And you're wrapping this thing up with the Philadelphia Phillies here at home. You haven't seen them since the early stages of the season. And we know what they've done since then. But we also remember what you did to them. And I think this is an option here where if the Braves, who started this game started the stretch 8 games back, there's potential for you to get this thing down to 6 or 5, something like that. And I think this is a key homestand for the Braves. If it goes the other way, again, I'm not saying the season's over, but it feels like if this homestand goes the other way and you get to that series against the Phillies and you're 9 back and they take 2 or 3 and now you're 10 back, then it probably is the wild card. But if you can get it down to 5 or 6, maybe it could be a chase is on. And so it's a very key series, but the one thing you can't do is look ahead to the Phillies. You've got to focus on yourselves first and take care of business today and tomorrow against the Pirates, and then the 3 against the Giants. Got a little bit of frustrating news in regards to the Atlanta Braves earlier this week in regards to the MLB All-Star voting, and they have entered phase 2 of the All-Star votes. And Kyle Schwarber of the Phillies caught and passed Marcell Ozuna in All-Star voting for the DH position. So Ozuna's not going to be part of phase 2. Now you're in a situation, though, where both Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber are injured and have both been placed on the 10-day IL. Look, neither one of them were going to catch Shohei Ohtani. It's pretty frustrating after the season that Marcell Ozuna's had that he was caught and passed by Kyle Schwarber. And I don't know if Ozuna's going to get to the All-Star game. I mean, it's a likelihood of you having 2, maybe 3 pitchers in regards to Chris Sale, Max Fried, and potentially even Ronaldo Lopez go into the All-Star game. A lot of people are also going to be pushing for Jesse Chavez to finally make an All-Star game. He's having an outstanding season for the Braves, which of course he is. I don't know if Ozuna's going to make the All-Star game. This is a guy that yesterday, at least in the moment, I haven't looked at the updated stats today, but yesterday he retook the lead for RBI in the National League. And there's a real chance that he misses the All-Star game. And that would be tough, but if you're going to take 3 pitchers and Schwarber and Shohei, I mean, how many DHs are you really going to take? Now, Ozuna did say he would participate in the Home Run Derby if invited. I don't know how much. I don't know how interested they are in that. Where's the All-Star game? E, do you know off the top of your head? Where's the All-Star game? Texas, yeah. Like, if it were in St. Louis, maybe because of his history there, I could sell you on Marcell Ozuna being a draw for that. I find it very tough to think that the league itself, with as many high-profile names and players they could draw, I find it difficult to believe that Marcell Ozuna is going to be invited to the Home Run Derby.
The Derby? That's a good one.
They're going to have to turn down a lot of people would have to turn down that invite for it to work its way to Marcell. But he did say that he would, you know,
participate
if invited.
Yeah.
He did say. It wasn't like a lock, you know, verbal contract, but like, yeah, he said he'd be interested. He'd, you know, get after it. Another thing about the Atlanta Braves, real quick, before we break for the final segment. Tomorrow, early game that's going to be on Roku. And so good luck. Now, I have a Roku TV, so I'm actually able to watch this thing. I'm not sure that many people have a Roku TV or have Roku or whatever. I think it's an 11:35 game, which is part of their plan, part of the Roku MLB streaming plan. So 11:35 tomorrow, Atlanta Braves first pitch. So that's something. It's you know, if you haven't been able to watch on Xfinity for the last 50 days or however long it's been, maybe you have Roku. Should I throw a watch party at my house? I'm having a watch party at Park Bar for the U.S. men's national team Monday night against Uruguay, needing a victory. And I invite all of you down to join me, Park Bar, 8 p.m. Monday night. Maybe I should have everyone come join me 11 a.m. at Casa La Abe for a Roku TV. What now? The only problem is the Roku TV is TV number 3. And so you guys are going to have to deal with it being top right. And who knows what else I'd be watching. Euros at noon. That'll be on. And then, I don't know, it's probably like a rerun of Jurassic World can be on one of the TVs too. It's an enjoyable film, even muted. But yeah, Roku tomorrow. Interested to see how their coverage looks for MLB. I don't think I've watched a game on Roku yet. So we'll check it out tomorrow. Speaking of the Braves, still tied 1-1 here in the seventh inning, and looks like it's going to be heading to the eighth with that score as well. All right, we are going to get you set up for the Five Stripes Countdown. Garrett Chapman has now joined me in studio. I'll have a final word on the Hawks. I'll remind you once again what we got going on with the Braves and Atlanta United and the watch party, and we'll have a little bit of fun as we wrap things up. It is the Abe TL Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Final couple minutes here. Straight up to my the bed. Abe TL Show live in the Kia Studios. Abe Gordon here. And I'm going to be here for a little while longer as the Five Stripes Countdown is coming your way again. Atlanta United against Toronto FC. Atlanta United going to be wearing the red and black tonight. And I'll tell you what, I don't really go out of my way to say this often, but I saw the threads for Toronto FC. The white with the red trim pops pretty nicely for Toronto FC. I honestly hope that's the highlight of their day, is the kits that they are wearing tonight. Looking pretty sharp. Of course, Atlanta United's, as always, looking good as well. The Braves have entered the late stages. It is in the eighth inning now, top of the eighth inning, with a 1-1 score line. So still hoping the Braves can find a way. Just keeping an eye as well on the rival Phillies. They are trailing right now at home 3-2. To the Miami Marlins. That one is in the eighth inning as well. So I'm hopeful, I guess, that the Marlins could close it out. Maybe the Braves can find a way to win and we can grab another game on the Phillies today. But we'll see. A couple of times I thought the Phillies were going to wrap it up and they did not. So I thought they were going to lose and they found a way to come back in late innings. So we'll see how that goes right now. Joe Jimenez is on the bump. against Key Brian Hayes. And so we'll see exactly how it plays out in that battle and for the rest of the inning and throughout the rest of the game as well. But, again, very key stretch for the Atlanta Braves here, a nine-game homestand that's going to close out with three games against the Phillies. And you have got to take some steps forward in this homestand if you want to have a hope of running down the Phillies. I think it's – not saying it's late, but – when we go back to the 10.5 game lead the Mets had, that was on June 1st, and we are now approaching July 1st. And obviously it's not 10.5 right now, but you also can't be closer to 10 than you are to 5 when you come out of this homestand. That's how I look at it. So you need to be at worst 7 or 6 games out when this homestand wraps up. And to do that, you're going to have to take it to the Phillies, depending on what you accomplish in the 6 games leading up to it. So that's what we've got in regards to the Atlanta Braves. Again, interesting day tomorrow for the Atlanta Hawks. And it seems relatively quiet right now since the DeJounte Murray trade. I don't see a lot of rumors. Here's the thing, though. Like, the DeJounte Murray trade didn't build. It just happened. Like, it was very quiet, no rumors, just out of the blue happened. Could that happen with free agency as well? Because the free agent negotiating window for the NBA does open tomorrow afternoon/evening at 6 p.m. And I have not heard the Braves in on anyone. I really haven't. Did I say Braves? I meant Hawks. I haven't heard the Braves in on anyone either. But it's going to be real interesting to see because it's been very quiet, but it was also, I mean, it was so quiet in regards to the Atlanta Hawks that we had started trending towards the idea of, well, maybe they're just going to run it back with Trey and DeJounte. Like, a lot of people started moving in that direction, and then out of the blue, it happens. Could that also be how it's going to trend for free agency? We'll find out starting tomorrow at 6, because that is when the free agent negotiating window opens. Very interested to see how that plays out as well. Because now that I know that they can actually, like, keep a secret and get things done in quiet, I'm a little optimistic that maybe there's something going on there also. So we'll just have to see how that plays out. Euro 2024 had their first day of knockouts today. Germany moved on. They beat Denmark. I think the final was 2-0. And then Italy going bye-bye. The defending European champions out of the tournament today. They lost 2-0 to the Swiss, who have just played an outstanding tournament thus far. And so that's where you stand in that one. Copa America going on as well. Got a couple of games coming your way, but most importantly here for us, at least for me, the U.S. men's national team on Monday night, they have to get a win to advance. They are going to have to beat Uruguay, who has looked like one of the better teams in all of the Copa America 2024 tournament. So they're going to have to find a way to win, and we're going to be doing it with a watch party at Park Bar. I've mentioned it a couple times. Had a great time at the watch party at Manny's in Grant Park. So hoping we can run it back both in terms of the enjoyment level but also in terms of the result, because it was a 2-0 win in that one. We'll see if it can be against Uruguay as well. So need a win, but also need you guys to come hang out and chat about. And we're going to talk about everything. We can talk about the future of Greg Berhalter if things start turning south early in that one. But we are going to be at Park Bar Monday night, 8 o'clock, for a watch party. Michelob Ultra is going to be there. They're going to have some drink specials as well. So come hang out. We'll have some fun. Win or lose, it'll be a good time. So there you go. We got Atlanta United coming up here against Toronto FC. And still looking for our first home win under Rob Valentino. I know the results have ticked upwards a little bit, but need more. Need to get more. And if we talk about a turnaround, any sort of turnaround for Atlanta United. It has to start by winning your home games. You also kind of need to buoy a little bit because you got a very difficult road game looming with Real Salt Lake. I know you got a road game against New England first, but that road game against Real Salt Lake is going to be very difficult. Who knows who you'll have for it as well, because we know about the rumors involving Thiago Almada. Obviously, Giakoumakis is gone. The Almada discussion is starting to ramp up. He is going to be playing today. But who knows? Is this potentially the last game for Thiago Almada? We'll keep an eye on all the news. And then there's also been some late-breaking discussions, rumors, reports, whatever you want to call it. I don't think we're too advanced yet, but apparently Caleb Wiley is in the crosshairs. And there might be a couple of teams, including a couple big teams in Europe, that are interested in Caleb Wiley. You're going to lose Almada and Wiley either way for the Olympics coming up. Almada you might lose for good based on being sold. And now it looks like there's potential for Caleb Wiley as well. So we'll see. Again, the talks are still very, very early in those stages. All right, that's going to do it here for the Abe TL Show. I'm going to be back with Andy and Randy on Monday. I will have you from 2 to 6, though, on July 4th. I'm going to go home, run the Peachtree, and come right back here into Midtown. Hope they cleared the streets by then, because I got a show to do on Thursday, July 4th. And so I got a lot of, we'll see. I'm hoping that we have some actual news, more stuff from the Atlanta Hawks by then, because the free agent window will have opened, and we'll see if the Hawks can get involved in those discussions. But I'll have a lot of discussion. We've got some Hawks things planned on July 4th as well, and certainly some fun. I know Eric Slaughter said he's going to be with me. We'll do some barbecue cookout discussions. I'll have my annual tirade on how pathetic firework displays are. It'll be a fun Independence Day, and so I'll be back with you from 2 to 6 then. That's going to do it here for the Abe TL Show today. Coming up next, it is the Five Stripes Countdown. Garrett Chapman and myself get you set for Atlanta United against Toronto FC. You get a home game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Eric Slaughter, thanks as always. And we'll chat with you next time on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.